May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Well, if you'd have been there, you wouldn't have missed it for the world. Because, this was a tomb. I want you to imagine it. There's a picture up there. See the rock? In this age of rock and roll, this really is rock and roll. This sealed tomb was broken open. It was sealed by the Roman authorities to ensure that Jesus' disciples weren't going to, do a body snatch and revive him, do a little bit of CPR. But after 3 days, without breathing, CPR is not really all that effective. At least that's what I'm told, So the wonder of a God who can bring life out of darkness, life out of death, is just to be amazed at. And that's the kind of awe and majesty that people like Jeremiah the prophet and the psalmist espouse, this tremendous fear of the Lord. Let's not be too afraid, because Jesus keeps telling people not to be afraid. Angels keep telling us not to be afraid. So what's to be afraid of? Well, we know... I don't know. Who's experienced an earthquake? Anyone been in an earthquake? David? Oh, Martha? Nobody else? Anyone experienced a tsunami? No? Yes? Okay. It's probably a pretty fearsome experience. Anybody been through a storm, a wind storm, like a tornado or something like that? Cyclone, I think they're called. Yeah. I want you to understand that the tremendous sense of fear there, when such power is observed, witnessed, and one of the things that I used to do some years ago was to go and stand in the middle of winter on the beach, and especially on one of those wonderful days when the wind is blowing a gale, and just watch millions of tons of water just being lifted up and thrown in the air. The awesome power of nature, we just bear witness to it. Today we're bearing witness to the awesome power of God in relation to life. And some of you have actually been through near-death experiences, and some of you have actually come back from that point and realised, wow, life is pretty amazing. And God really does want people to appreciate and enjoy and enrich their lives. Jesus came to give abundant life, not just survival. So today of all days, we should be hearing, oh, there's places in this world where there are people who are not just surviving, they're only just surviving. There are people being oppressed by other people. How can that sense of freedom and release of new life into the world, how can that in any sense bear witness to the slavery of people in Bangladesh? At our behest, it's time for us to change our way of being. It's time for us to recognise that abundant life is for all people, and that's what the epistle writer is talking about. In the book of Acts, we hear that statement that Peter says, I now see God isn't partial. God doesn't pick and say, well, only like Collingwood supporters. God doesn't pick and choose like that. God wants life and love for all people. And the act of Jesus dying on the cross and being raised again to new life is just a thing that it projects God's love into the world. It projects the opportunity for new life. It projects hope into the world. And the women who bore witness to that, we have them to thank. We have them to thank for bearing witness. Because typical of the guys, they were probably sleeping it off after a terrible night of, you know, grieving over the loss of Jesus. And the women make it possible for us to know about this. Because the Roman guards weren't going to tell anybody, do you reckon? Can you imagine the Roman guard going back to Pilate and saying, well, this white angel spoke to us. And Pilate would have said, well, that's very interesting. Maybe he'll speak to you in the next life. Bye. The women bore witness to this amazing event, which, as I said at the beginning, if we'd have been there, we would not have missed it for the world. Because this is something to do with the world. This is something that the prophets spoke about impacting on the whole world, on the nations, not just Judea, not just Ephraim, not just Israel, but the whole world, all the nations, you and me. I mean, when those words were written, you and I, even the country of Australia, as it is today, just couldn't have ever been imagined. But here we are today, followers of Jesus, the one that God raised from the dead. People look at us and say, well, you know, these people are a little bit touched. Show us where this Jesus is. Show us your faith. No. The faith to believe is a gift from God, a gift of God's grace. And people can spurn it, people can laugh at it, mock it, or whatever. But I'm telling you that there are people who are alive today because of your faith, because of the faith that you have exercised over the years as disciples of Jesus. Through the love you've shown, the care you've shown, through the political action that you've taken to ensure that justice and compassion is available for all. So, you know, we can be a bit tired, but I want you today, of all days, to say, wow, new life. I mean, go back a little bit in the Bible and you've got a story of Abraham. You know, 99 years old, he becomes a parent. At 116, he's got teenage children. Can you imagine? Okay? So new life for us today is got to be lived out in our practical realities. The new life that's released into the world. This is about freedom. This is about the capacity for people to express the greatest joy and love and compassion and justice. And you've got it in spades, I have to tell you that. So today, what's on offer for us? New life. Yes, it might seem that, oh gosh, I've got to get up tomorrow morning and still got to brush my teeth and do all those things. That's true. But in addition to that, you have the Spirit of the living God who raised Jesus from the dead. A God who can bring life out of death. Wow. Praise the Lord. And thank God for the witness of those women. Thank God for you today to be able to sit here and worship and praise God. Amen.